All right, it's time for episode 2 of the Hard Knocks One Jets Drive recap. I'm Blakey Locks. I'm here with the Jetstream guys, Jesse and Connor. Episode 2 in the books. How are you guys feeling?
Different.
Feeling great. Different.
I'm feeling different than the first episode. It was it was a different vibe.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I liked it though. I liked the different vibe. It wasn't like it was like half of it wasn't as, you know, happy-go-lucky, everything's good, you know, pie in the sky type of show. It was like,
yeah,
you know, we're like, okay, guys, like, you know, we had a shitty practice or something like that. And there's the 2-minute scene of Salah ripping him to pieces. I'm like, this is what we want to see also. One Jets Drive doesn't give us the negative stuff. I want to see what is going on when things aren't going well too. So I'm glad we got that this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, episode 1 was very much the Aaron Rodgers is here. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened. Everybody on the team is at an all-time high in confidence and everything with Rodgers in the building. And this was, yeah, much more. There were some moments of that, and we'll get into everything. But yeah, there were definitely some, maybe everything on this team isn't perfect, which obviously it isn't. No team, everything's perfect. So we want to see that stuff. We want to see how this team, how the coaching staff, how everybody will respond, because there are going to be moments throughout the season where you lose a game or things are going bad in a game and how do people respond. So it's cool to see that stuff, honestly. We'll get into all of it. But big picture, what did you guys kind of think of the episode other than just the vibe? We still liking what we're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. I really thought that Salah established himself as the alpha dog this episode, you know. Jesus Christ. Like, literally the lowest like form of fucking sports talk radio.
Apparently if you're like, Salah Kata, I think he thinks it was fake. It's like maybe he was just
it was Tierney who thought it
was
fake.
Yes, it was Tierney.
Salah
right.
was like, that's what I love.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, literally, like, I can hear their pre-show meeting.
Yes.
You know,
okay. Like, good cop, bad cop type thing.
Yeah. Like,
and
Jesus Christ.
He
man.
Was just like, it was like he wanted him to be more assertive. And then Salah goes out there and is assertive. Definitely what he's like when the cameras aren't, like when he's just like probably like that all the time. And he wants him to be more aggressive. And then Salah is more aggressive. And he's like, well, he's just doing that because we said we wanted to see it. It's like, you are giving yourself way too much credit, my friend.
Yeah.
You think Robert Salah is listening to the fan? Not a chance in hell. Not a chance in hell. You know what he's listening to? He's not even listening to when he's on the segments with Boomer and Gio. Like,
he has
on the show,
like,
there.
He has like, what, 9 kids? You know what he's listening to? The sound of silence.
Yeah.
All right.
Or,
he doesn't even listen to film with
right.
noise.
No,
he's
silent,
like,
film.
Silent film. You guys
know
I love my silent film.
That guy hears way too much from his kids every
yeah.
single day that he's home. There's no way that he listens to any music or any any radio. No, he's listening to the sound of silence and seeing the inside of his eyelids when he gets home.
Yeah, he's either screaming at grown men all day, and then he gets home and there's children screaming at him all night. And then he gets his like couple of hours in like a dark room in his house somewhere where he's just in total silence watching the film from that day. And
yeah.
That's like his dream scenario. No, this is the only
dude.
This is the only Hard Knocks recap show that Robert Salah listens to is this one right here.
Of course.
Because he respects our opinions. We're not gonna go hot takes.
Right.
We're gonna tell it like we saw it.
We go back a long, long time with our good friend Robert.
Our
okay?
good friend Bob Salah.
Yeah.
We are good friends.
No,
I knew him as Bobby from Michigan. I don't know about you guys, but you know,
oh yeah, of
we
course,
go way
of
back,
course.
Me and him.
Yeah.
But that stuff was cool to see with him, because like you said, and it's kind of where this thing is coming from of these guys, which is bullshit, obviously. But like where it's is we do in like press conferences and stuff. Like even when things were going bad at the end of last season, when things were going bad with Zach Wilson. Like you see him in a press conference, he's not really a negative guy. He's very much like, you know, like we're going to do everything we can to get things back on track. Like, he's very measured in his press conferences anytime he's kind of speaking publicly. So seeing this behind the scenes stuff of like, it's like you don't become a defensive coordinator in the positions he was in if you're not the type of guy that's in there chewing people out, like getting into guys. So like, we knew that that side of him existed. Yeah. And so it was really cool to see that. Like, and when
he has a holding back guy, like, of course, exactly.
Literally.
Yeah.
Like literally, like he's not just a hold me back guy when he's excited and happy.
No, it's sure literally every second of the game. Like,
yeah, like he's in a very intense guy. When he's happy, he's intense. When he's angry, yeah, clearly he's intense. Like, the best part about like that rant wasn't like him being like, defense, you guys are great. Everyone knows you're great. We love you. And then the offense, he singles out who was doing well. He's like, it's not enough we have a two $10 million receivers. It's not enough we have an offensive rookie of the year. It's not enough that we have like these great running backs and a great quarterback. He's like, it doesn't matter. You could almost feel like, I imagine he was like turning and looking right at the offensive lineman. He's just like, it doesn't mean shit if the big guys up front like aren't doing their job, essentially. And that just must have been so awkward for the other like 80% of the room to just be like, all right, so we're all doing our job, but now he's just yelling at all of our friends over here.
Sala was, maybe it was in one Jets drive, and maybe I'm just, everything's melding together, the amount of Jets content I consume, but I saw an interview with Sala, and they asked him about Rodgers and the whole alpha dog thing and whatnot, and he was like laughing at it. He's like, man, like we came into the league at like in the same year, you know, like we're very similar in age and where we are in our lives. Like, you know, Rodgers is like he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Of course, I'm going to take input from him. Like it's the same as taking input from the 38-year-old like position coaches that we have, you know, like, except this guy is like going to be in the Hall of Fame and he's going to be on the field also. It's like having an extra coach on the field. So right. Like Salah's like, this is awesome. Like, I have another guy. He's not like, oh, that's my job, I'm supposed to be the alpha dog. Like, no, this is like, everybody's bought in. Everyone's like on the same page and helping each other. And the only alpha dog conversation that's happening is on Sports Talk Radio and like on YouTube and whatnot. Like, that's not a real like storyline in the locker room.
Yeah. When we were kind of comparing last week, Aaron Rodgers, because we were talking about the Nathaniel Hackett thing and like, is he a good coach? And it's like, do we even need him to be a good coach, or does he just need to be the guy that makes Aaron Rodgers happy? And then we were comparing that situation to Brady's first year in Tampa and how he went there, was rejuvenated, won a Super Bowl in his first year. And it was kind of similar with Byron Leftwich as the offensive coordinator in Tampa, where him and Tom Brady were like the same age, I think, or very close to it. Mm-hmm. And Byron Leftwich, even though he's the coach, he's not going to pretend to like know more than Tom Brady does about playing the quarterback position in the NFL. The reason that they had a really successful partnership is, I'm assuming, because Byron Leftwich was just like sitting down with him and being like, hey man, what did you see? What do you think? And Brady saying what he thinks. And then Leftwich being like, okay, let's go with that. And just kind of letting him do his thing, which I assume is the same relationship that these coaches have with Aaron Rodgers, where it's like, hey man, we're not going to tell you what to do. Like, as long as you're in here working hard and doing everything you're supposed to be doing, which from everything we've seen, he definitely is, it's definitely more of a partnership as it should be.
Yeah. And his relationship with Hackett, it's very obvious that it doesn't even need to be like, it doesn't even need to be said. Like, it's immediately recognizable that they have a partnership. Their relation, like, shitting on each other in practice and like ribbing on each other, like, they're friends. It's not even a coach player relationship as it is like a two friends collaborating on how they want to take down a defense.
Right.
You know, exactly. That it's a very unique situation where like you look at like, I mean, maybe Leftwich and Brady were friends before he got to Tampa, but I'm going to assume like they probably weren't very close. You know, they probably knew of each other because they played in the league at the same time, but like they weren't like, hey, like Byron, what are you doing for like Thanksgiving? You want to come by? Like, no, like that wasn't. And then like, I know like Tom eventually like came to Tampa and lived at Leftwich's house or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. But like, you know, it's a very unique situation that Rodgers has with Hackett, where like they're just boys like busting each other's balls and calling plays and drawing things up in the dirt, you know, which is like football speak in the highest form. But at the same time, like, it's also true, you know? So that's really a unique situation. Like, Bruce Arians was in his 60s, you know, and retired soon after Brady got there. You know, Saleh's same age, you know, Hackett's very similar age. Like, everyone's like kind of like on the same page here. There's no like hierarchy, like in a normal situation. Like, Peyton Manning was absolutely doing everything for Adam Gase. You know,
oh
like,
my God.
You know, like, that wasn't a collaboration. That was like, oh, you just happened to be the offensive coordinator.
Right.
Congratulations on the salary, but I got it.
That's what it is with Rodgers and Hackett. It's not like, I mean, you've been saying, it's just, I think, pretty sure I said this to you at some point, Jesse, when we were recording. It's just Hackett's not getting in Rodgers' way. And that's what makes makes them both so successful. And it's not even the fact that, I think even if they weren't good friends, Hackett would probably understand that. He'd probably be like, what am I going to coach? What am I going to do? What am I going to see on the field that he's not seeing on the field that helps what we're doing here? Doesn't make any sense. He's just like, I'm just going to get out of his way. Maybe I'll call the plays. I'll work with him and call plays and stuff like that. But what am I going to show him that benefits this team? There was a moment, I think, in the episode where Hackett was just like talking about, or maybe it was last week, when Rodgers was like joking with him about like, you called a bad play, or you called the fucking play or something like that on like a busted up play or something like that. So it's just,
he did it last week and we talked about it, and then he did it again this week. There was one which I don't think he was even playing. I think it was during the preseason game when he was on the sideline, or maybe it was during one of the joint practices. But it was in like real against the Panthers in some way. And yeah, there was one play and Rodgers goes over and he's like, maybe now we know not to run that play from that formation.
That was practice.
In the joint practice, I think.
Yeah. And it's just like, he's just always learning. It's like, he's learning with these guys, like this new team. He's has got as much to learn in that sense as a lot of other guys. You know, they were saying it in this conversation with Bryce Young before the practice started. He was just like, yeah, Bryce asked him, he's just like, so what's it like being in a new place? And he's like, well, you kind of know. I mean, you're in a new place too. We're both kind of just like figuring this stuff out. It's like, you know, you're in a certain place for that much time and you come to a place like this. And yeah, it's just completely different. But yeah, I mean, he's certainly, well, I like the fact that this week, yeah, like, wasn't all happy, glowing Rodgers. We saw like, he's out there and he's talking to McGovern about some of the snaps that he was getting. He's just like, don't spin the ball to me. He's like, don't do that. And he's just like, just do this or do that, do this, do that. And it's like, I don't like when the ball spins when it comes to me. So like, don't do that because it's just going to screw me up. And then like the next clip they show is like a snap that went over his head.
That was a different guy also.
It was a Schweitzer.
Oh, Schweitzer. How many guys?
Which I don't know why he's playing center.
Yeah, I think there's. I think anyone on the offensive line that's like ever played center, they're all kind of like getting a crack.
Give him a shot.
Like, so.
I to your point also, Connor. Like, it wasn't the happy-go-lucky Rodgers episode. it certainly wasn't. Like, we saw a different side of him this episode. Like a shit talking, like more of like, not even shit talking, more of like how he actually is. You know, in the beginning of the first episode, he's like, oh, I'm going to give you guys some good sound today, right?
Right.
This one, it didn't feel like that, where, like, he was being intentional and, like, trying to, like, give good sound bites. Like Blake, when you said, maybe we'll learn not to run this play again, the tone that he used was like, you fucking idiots, why are we not changing this play? Or him running up to that Panthers D-line coach and calling him a fat piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, his face.
Yes.
Yeah. I wrote the quote down. He said,
"Yeah, what was the
what's
quote?
Up, little? What's up, little bitch? You look fat as shit."
Yeah. I was like, "Oh my!" My jaw dropped. I was like, "Oh my god!" Like,
or like all
he
the Panthers
said
guys
that
like,
on.
He's like, "Oh, he's buying faux tarts now instead of pop tarts."
Yeah,
and he's just like, "He said, you said the next time I saw you, you're gonna be under 270."
Like, yeah, they kept going into about his weight.
And... Yeah, they kept going into about his weight. I was like, oh my god!
And then at the end, he gave him a hug, and he's like, "I love you, buddy."
I love you, man.
Like, yeah, no, like, listen, like, a lot of people probably watched that and were like, wow, Rodgers is such an asshole. That's just guys being dudes.
Especially on a football
and
team.
And you know what? And he is being an asshole. But that's what guys being dudes are. Like, that's just what, like, dudes do. We just rip each other to shreds.
It was an ultimate, you know, dudes rock moment.
Like girls, yeah. Girls, well, rock moment. Girls do it behind each other's backs. We just do it to each other's faces. And we're just like, yeah. And then you're like, I love you, bro. And that's it. Like, you know. Then you move on. And then you find someone else to destroy. You know, like, that's
And you can tell that's what Rodgers likes, because I know from stuff that, like, that's how Miles Teller is, who's, like, one of his boys. Like, I've seen stuff with Miles Teller where, like, people think Miles Teller is kind of a dick, like, because he kind of acts that same way, like, kind of sarcastic and, like, will kind of, like, bust your balls, but, like, is probably a good guy at the end of the day. And it's the same thing we were talking about with Hackett. Like, there was a moment with Hackett in this episode where – Quinnen Williams was getting after everybody, like being an absolute beast, and Hackett just looks over and he goes, hey, Q, and he just gives him the finger because he's ripping his offense apart. And so it's just those are the type of guys that Aaron Rodgers likes, guys that he can probably just be an asshole with, but they know that it's just like, it's not serious. And
Rodgers, Rodgers was shitting on Quinnen too. He was like, oh, 10 sacks? And then he goes, that's 11.
Maybe my favorite Rodgers moment was during the preseason game, like towards the end, and when Kuntz?
Kuntz.
I don't want to say the other one.
Yeah, it's Kuntz.
Yeah, it's Kuntz when he got his touchdown in the preseason game, and it was like after. I think that Leif Schreiber was like, after a rough week in practice, it was nice that he got a touchdown or something like that. And he had run the wrong route.
And
Rodgers must have said, he must have said 6 or 7 times, he's just like, got the touchdown but ran the wrong route. He's like, this might have been like an amazing moment for you. This is your first NFL touchdown. Get it together and run the right route. Like, if you're out there playing with me, I expect the best from you. Even if you get a touchdown, I don't give a shit. I was like, that's him. That's great. That's what you want to see. He's like, every single player that plays with him has always said the same thing. He's just like, he's a super good dude when he's off the field, you know, but when he's on the field, he's lasered in. He's the guy that you want out there for a reason. Like,
and that's what the greats do. Brady, notorious for screaming at teammates on the sideline. We've seen it so many times in video. Yeah. You know, just absolutely laying into his offensive line or literally anybody like on the team. Like, he didn't care. And the greats do that. I've seen video of Peyton yelling at people, being like, what are you doing?
Big time.
You know, like, and I love that Rodgers is good enough, and we have somebody that's good enough to do that. And we certainly fucking do.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it's definitely what you want from your quarterback. We kind of just been going through some of our favorite moments, but I did make another kind of just timeline if we want to run through the episode and hit on stuff. The episode started with Oz, the mentalist. And I feel like most people have seen him on stuff by now. He's done stuff on like Monday Night Football with different NFL teams. He's done stuff on like College Game Day with college teams. He's gone into like Barstool and done stuff with them. Like, he just kind of goes around to anywhere he can get like a group of people where he can just like do his thing and people will go crazy. And I don't know. It's like the type of thing when I see that, I just like don't like to think about it too much because it'll just like upset me. Like, because I have no idea, like card tricks and stuff. Like, I get that. Like, it's cool if you can do it, but like, it's like, I know you're pulling something on me somehow. But like with Mecole Hardman, I think it was like saying, who do you think you'll play in the Super Bowl and what will the score be? And he turns the thing around and it's 49ers 31-21. And he got it. It's like, I can't even like think too much about how he did that unless it's like totally rigged, which I don't think it is.
That one made me think it's like that one and the Michael Carter
Goldfish.
One. Yeah.
The Goldfish.
The Hardman and the Michael Carter one was like, that made me think that he just like pulled them aside in like the hallway beforehand and was like, here's what's going to happen, which just wouldn't have been fine.
The Michael Carter one.
Getting reactions from the players is what you want.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And like seeing Carter, like when Michael Clemens saw it, he's just like, He's like backing up out of his seat. Like, that's worth it. But the Rodgers one with the goldfish, that one was like, all
it
right.
Had to have been when his hands were together and he like
he was like passing something
out,
between,
and he was like fiddling with it, maybe putting a sleeve. I don't know, but that was crazy to
the
me.
The best was
that
the best was you couldn't see who it was. Like, but what if he picked a giraffe?
Yeah. That would have been really good.
So that was fun. It's a little team bonding type thing, and seems like he tries to put somewhat of like a motivational message into it a little bit, but that's kind of what we opened with. And then we started after that with a montage of some practice fights, which is always fun. And I think it's definitely a positive thing. I think if your team's not fighting in practice, then you're not going hard enough and you don't have competitive enough guys. So that was fun to see guys going at each other hard. Somebody trying to fight Michael Clemens, and we got a shot of Garrett
Clemens,
Wilson
oh
being
God.
On the sideline being like, I'm not going after Mike. Like, if there's a fight, I'm on whatever side Mike is on.
Yeah,
it's
and
not
like,
offense,
dude,
defense.
He was railing on whoever, on somebody.
Yeah.
Clemens. I was like, oh my God, why is anybody fighting this guy?
Yeah.
And then,
like, which is crazy. Like, he's not even the biggest guy on the team. Like, imagine, like, it was Becton he was fighting. And
or Solomon
Becton was
Thomas,
just like,
or like.
Yeah, Becton was like, all right, like, enough. Like, you're cute, but yeah, we're not fighting right now.
I don't know who Clemens was talking to afterwards. Was it Rodgers, maybe? He was just like,
with
like,
the
how
punch
do you,
in the helmet?
Yeah, he's like, how do your hands
yeah,
do you punch the helmet? Like, he's like,
yeah.
What are you
yeah.
doing? He's like, that's how you break your hand.
Yeah, it was Rodgers, and he was just like, ah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's
like,
fine.
All right.
Okay, okay.
I saw Damian Woody tweeted. He was like, all these guys like fighting and everything, like, it's not worth it. I broke my hand once. It's not worth it. But Blake, I'm with you. I think that if your guys aren't fighting, maybe it's not worth it to them personally, but like as a team, I totally agree. Like, you're not going to encourage fighting, but you're not going to like say no fighting, because you know that competitive factor is a thing.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And it should be something where it's also kind of like you're bonding in like your position groups, where it's like, if somebody goes after one of the offensive linemen, like after the play's over and the defensive lineman keeps going at him, you want the other offensive lineman coming in and being like, get off my guy. Like that's the type of thing you're kind of encouraging. And in practice is these like position groups kind of bonding, and then naturally the whole team will have that same level of bonding, which is what you're looking for. And they kind of transitioned all that. There was one thing, I forget who Sala was talking to, one of the other coaches or somebody on the sideline. And the guy was like, now I get the fights, but you don't have to have the benches clear every single time. And Sala went, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
He's thinking the same thing. He's like, you want guys jumping in to back up their guys. Cause in the next scenario where it's not Jets versus Jets, it's Jets versus Patriots or Jets versus Bills, you want guys coming in and backing up their guys in those situations. So that's just kind of what it goes into. But they kind of transitioned all of that into, which we talked about last week, wanting to see a little bit more Quinnen Williams stuff, and basically just showed him demolishing everybody, which ended up being a theme throughout the episode going into the Panthers game and everything. But the one thing I took away is, they were like, oh, they call him cue ball. Have you guys heard that before?
I have never heard.
No.
Maybe that's just a player.
No,
thing.
I had never heard that.
I had never
but
heard.
But I like it. It's like wrecking ball, but like it's cue ball.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I had never heard someone call him cue ball.
Yeah, they were like, we call him cue ball. And I was like, do we?
I've only ever called
did.
Him Q. So like as a fan, it might be a player's thing. It's like,
well, there is.
Yeah, it must be.
There is like what? The cue ball, which is in pool, right?
Yeah, but even if you call a guy cue ball,
it's what you call bald guy.
Yeah, his head shape.
Yeah, it's what you call
a
bald guy.
Doesn't have a shaved head. So I'm even like more confused now.
I think it's just got to be like a wrecking ball.
Yeah,
cue, and then just the fact that cue ball is a term, it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or yeah, it could be in pool, like you hit the cue ball into like the other balls, and it just like demolishes them and like sends them flying. Like it could be something like that, like he's the cue ball that goes flying into the offensive line and knocks everybody down. I don't know.
We need like, you know, like one of the beat writers to ask this question this week. Somebody needs to get the answer on this.
what is the source of the cue ball nickname?
Yeah, because sports nicknames are great. So if we had like a good reason behind where it came from, other than just him being cute, that'd be great to know. But then the next thing we see is Aaron Rodgers. They're in the video room going through film, and they're showing side by sides of Aaron Rodgers on one play is a play action and one is an actual run play. And it's all the guys in the quarterback room trying to guess which one, including Aaron, which one is an actual play action and which one is a run play. And basically results in – go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what did Zach say? No, you know what? Continue. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't want to steal your thunder if this is what you're going to say.
No, I don't have Zach's quote. I know Zach said something like you're giving it away right there. And then something it turns like out that it was the opposite of what Zach had guessed. And Rodgers is like giving it away, huh? Yeah. And like just away. Totally
right. But Zach chirped Rodgers at the beginning of this scene. Like, and Rodgers turns to him slowly and goes, "What did you just say?" Like he couldn't believe that Zach was chirping him.
It's like he said something that's like "fuck your fake" or something like that. Or
yeah, like I was a shitty fake. I was a bad fake, or something like that.
And Rodgers just was like,
he slowly turns and he's like, "What did you just say to me?"
And Wilson was like, "Sorry, Dad." Sorry, Dad.
Zach had a shit eating grin on his face. I was like, "All right." He's like, "You know what? The cockiness is still there." That's
he's got it.
So that's, I mean, just the fact that professional quarterbacks can look at like a screenshot of a play like that and not know like what's going to happen. I don't know. Maybe again, we kind of talked about this last week with us maybe just being like ignorant to some of this stuff. But in my mind, it's like, oh, I feel like with most quarterbacks in the NFL, you could tell like there would be some kind of giveaway, like something they're doing differently. But Rodgers is just so next level that it's just like, looks identical. And then they moved on to something I was also, a couple of guys we talked about, we wanted to see Quinnen Williams, which we got. And another one was Will McDonald, who just seems like, I think we already knew it a little bit, but then from kind of this scene we got, we know way more. He's just an incredibly unique guy, totally on like his own wavelength. He was going to get like an eyebrow piercing and like a nose piercing and all this stuff. And it's just the whole thing. I had to like look away at one point. Like that stuff same. Just totally, really the eyebrow is bad where they're like through.
The second nose
like,
one.
They pinched his eyebrow and they like put it through and I like gagged. I was like, all right, I need to look away.
Did you catch what the piercing artist's name was?
Yeah, it was Bussy.
Bussy Pierce.
Yeah.
Bussy Pierce. I was like Leo in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I sat up. I was like, there's no way that man's name is Bussy Pierce. Like, I lost it. Like, I was like, Jesus.
I was cracking up. I don't think I was watching my roommate. I don't think he noticed the name, but I started losing it when I saw that name.
It's so ridiculous.
I was like, his name is what?
Yeah. Like, given that the last name's Pierce, maybe it's like a trade name, but still, like.
No, the first name is just so beyond
ridiculous.
The pale. Yeah.
So absurd.
That has to be a self-given name and not his. And if it
I assume so.
If that's on his birth certificate, then I got to meet his parents. Just be like, seriously. What were you thinking here?
So we see him getting his piercings, and then he talks about like his style is kind of like all over the place. And then we get into him playing football, and he's a monster, obviously, and is fitting into this defensive line well. And then we can talk about it now. We see more of him in the preseason game. He has a great game against the Panthers. And I, after this episode, was already excited about him, but my level of excitement is just like next level. Cause I feel like guys, obviously on the field, what we saw is awesome, but the type of guys that have that kind of weird off the field personality, like, I feel like it are the guys that are kind of like on a different level because their brain is just like, there's something going on up there that's not going on with the rest of us, which is making him want to get stabbed through the eyebrows. So I'm super excited about Will McDonald.
him and Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, like, not just on Hard Knocks, but like watching the actual, whether it's the game itself or the clips on Twitter from the All 22, those guys are monsters. And they're not the starters. They're not the starters. And it doesn't even really matter.
Crazy.
Because like on like third down, like third and 10, you're going to throw Quinnen, Huff, like Jermaine Johnson and like maybe JFM or Will McDonald. Like they're going to rotate
like
Carl Lawson. Like they're going to on like, especially on passing downs, you're going to have some crazy athletes out there. And then they have the big boys for the rushing downs. Like Sala loves to rotate his offensive line and basically run it like a hockey team where like you're basically running line shifts, you know, and it's going to be quick, like 2-3 plays at most. And then it's the next guy's in. And there's a lot of substitutions on this defense, which is fine, you know, and they've proven that they can do it. They did it last year really, really effectively. This is Salah's dream. This is like what he had with the 49ers, you know, where he has a guy on Nick Bosa's level, you know, and DeForest Buckner and all these different guys. Like the Jets have so many guys that can run out there now. It's going to be so much fun to watch. And it's not just Jermaine and Will. It's like everybody. It's crazy.
Yeah. And that kind of rolls into the next thing, which was the team heading down to South Carolina for joint practices. And we saw kind of exactly what Sala said was he said to Quinnen Williams and the rest of the defensive line as they were kind of warming up before practices started, he kept saying, "We go as you go. You guys like better bring it because this team, we go as you go." And it's what we ended up seeing in the preseason game is the defensive line absolutely dominated and the team was perfect. I mean, the offense looked great. Zach looked great. The defense was perfect. Literally, they didn't score. So, and I think that's kind of going to be like the way the whole season goes. It's what Sala sees in this team. It's like, if you can get after the quarterback, you can force turnovers, get three and outs, get other teams off the field. Like we have Aaron Rodgers on the other side. And like, even though whatever, you can have concerns about what the offensive line is going to be or whatever, we can get into that. But it's like, if this defensive line can live up to the potential we think, then like this team is going to be really good. And it's just like, how far can they go from there?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we got to remember we want to remember that the Panthers are going to be very bad this year. That whole division is going to be very bad. The NFC South is going to be awful, you know, and it's one of those divisions where whoever wins it, it might be like the NFC West that season when the Seahawks won and they got into the playoffs and they were like 7-9 or something. It might be one of those cases, but we can't let that take away from how good some of those starters looked that were out there. You know, obviously the big name guys, I mean, they haven't said it yet. I can't picture a scenario in my head where guys like Rodgers or Garrett Wilson or Sauce or Quinnen are playing. I mean, the only time I could see him is maybe on Saturday, but even then, it's just like, we know what these guys can do. So, and it's like they say, there's no reason because we know what they can do. You want to see these other guys. You want to see Will McDonald and what he can do. And obviously, we saw they made a note of it. I think Bob Wischusen says it in Hard Knocks. He was like, they only had three guys rushing, and Will McDonald still got back there for the sack. Like, so these are the guys I want to see when there's no pressure and they can just go out there and do it. The Jets were up by like 20 points by that at that point of the game, I'm pretty sure. But still, like, I want to see that. Like, I know Will McDonald isn't going to be in the game as much as he is in the preseason. So I want to see those reps now. And maybe he, by the end of the season, he's in there a lot more. But for now, I want to see why he was the Jets' first overall pick.
And I loved seeing in Hard Knocks on that three-man rush. I think it was either right after or right before. I think it was a fourth down or something. And Will, like, makes the first play. And then he gets up, and they're like, oh, like, they're staying out there. And he's like, oh, I got this one. I got this.
Yeah.
And then he goes and he gets the sack. I was just like, holy shit, man. Like,
yeah,
this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
Like he said, he's like, no, I got this. I got yeah. this. This one's me. I was like, oh my God.
So then we get into joint practices. There was one funny moment where we see Josh McCown, the legendary Josh McCown, and somebody introduces him to Sauce. And Josh, very self-aware Josh McCown, like, first wasn't sure if Sauce even, like, knew who he was. It was like, yeah, I played quarterback for a long time. And he's like 18, 19 years, something yeah. like that. And then, and Sauce was like, oh, that's what's up. That's what's up. And he was like, yeah, I'm the type of quarterback, if I was playing now, I'd probably be throwing you one. And he was yeah. just like, oh, cool.
That was cool. I was former, hey, listen. When McCown was a Jets quarterback, he had some flashy moments, and we had some fun with him. He had that.
Yeah.
Was it him that
the helicopter?
The helicopter move. Yeah.
Yeah. Legendary.
He had some moments, you know. So it was. Those were the seasons where you knew nothing was going to happen because it's like, you know, you're trying out Josh McCown as your starting quarterback. You know,
yeah. some dark. Those here. Were some dark years.
So you might as well have some fun with it. The tail end of the Bulls years. So you might yeah. as well just have some fun with it, I guess, at this point.
Those were some I mean,
if you have like
years.
Yes.
If you have like a 17-year NFL career, you did something right, man. I'm yeah. not gonna no, first no disrespect like, to Josh McCown.
Yeah,
Josh McCown is an automatic member. He gets an auto bid to first team all finesse because yeah. just the length of that career, you know, just incredible.
Him, Fitzpatrick, I think he might not have the longevity. I don't know if he's on a team currently, but Mike Glennon. All team first.
Yeah, Chase Daniel is next up. Chase Daniel is next up.
Like, Mike
Matt
Glennon
Flynn.
Got that.
Matt Flynn made like 20 or 30 million off of
one game with the Packers. Like, yeah. Brock Purdy was trending in that direction, but apparently he's having a terrible camp. Apparently he's already thrown like 11 picks in camp or something like that. So
wait, I thought he was like locked in as the starter and is the guy.
I think he is. Like, he's definitely going to be the starter. I think Trey Lance is like, completely off
Trey
the map
been,
of this.
Yeah, I heard Trey was horrendous. How's our boy Sam? How's our boy Sam doing?
Some of the clips I saw, he looked pretty good. Like it's like, and any Jet fan, Jesse, you and I have said this. Any Jet fan that roots against Sam Darnold, unless he's in the game playing against the Jets, you have no reason to root against Sam Darnold.
I love Sam Darnold.
The franchise ruined Sam, not the other way around. Like yep. he had a 2018. The season ended, and we were like, okay, maybe we got something here. Like, he ended the season kind of strong, and it was the exact opposite of Wilson, where they started setting Wilson up for success, and he didn't step up to the plate. Darnold couldn't because he had no one. So it was, you know, kind of a disaster.
He had war criminal number one and war criminal number two as his GM and head coach. So
exactly. So then if, like, Sam steps in, and maybe Brock Purdy shows by like week 9 that he's not the guy, and he was a flash in the pan, or he comes off this Tommy John surgery and he's just not the same guy. Then why not, Sam? You know, go for it.
Yeah,
deal.
I did
sign me up.
Double check. Chase Daniel has 5 career starts in the NFL and has made $41 million. So he has made $8.2 million per NFL start.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So some of these guys, like we were talking about, like Josh McCown and Mike Glennon, they went through runs where they were like a starting quarterback for a good chunk of seasons or even full seasons. That is like next level to start 5 career games and still just keep getting those checks.
Get
so that's
bag.
Unbelievable. Shout out to Chase Daniel.
Shout out for sure.
Yeah.
So then it does get into kind of, we've already kind of referenced it, but the first kind of real negative moment, which came from the offensive line, which has now turned into like the story of the week at practice and everything, really the story of today at practice, is the offensive line. Just, we saw a moment from Rodgers being frustrated where he was like, somebody just block somebody, like, give me a minute. And the coach is getting pissed, Sala going after the offensive line. And then we saw today our pal Ethan was peppering all of us with these tweets from practice about Rodgers having no time and him just having to throw the ball away and the amount of sacks that the Bucks were getting on the Jets in practice, despite the fact that the Jets had four of their five starters out in practice today. That's an important note to make. I will say it probably is the biggest concern on the team. Like, not saying that I think it's like we should be in panic mode over this offensive line, but when you look at every single other group, you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. You have maybe the best running back duo in the NFL now that Dalvin Cook has been signed. You have the offensive rookie of the year at wide receiver, in addition to other guys that have been really successful. The defense speaks for itself. It's a beast. One guy that's looked great in preseason is Greg the Leg, Legatron. He's looked perfect in preseason. So it's really everything top to
bottom. Yeah, and Thomas Morstead.
Everything top to bottom has been basically perfect so far this preseason, except this offensive line, and we got into it a bit there. So where are we on the offensive line?
I think that there's definitely need for concern when from like a better part of a week we've been hearing stories about how poorly the offensive line has been playing. But I think that there's a lot of nuance to it, to this conversation, and I think that there's a lot of there's a lot of factors involved. You know, the main one being four guys were out today. Or three guys were out, and the fourth, are you referring to Becton, like not being part of the starting group yet? Like, so yeah, like Becton, like I think everybody is rooting for Becton to win that left tackle job. The biggest thing, and the beat asked Saleh about it today, is that Becton's not going to get any first team reps until he can show that he can play a full game, because it's not fair to the rest of the players, guys who can play a full game, losing reps. It doesn't make sense strategically to give reps to a guy who we don't know if he can last a full game compared to guys who we know can play. So kind of just like, all right, like these are the guys the best ability is availability in the NFL, right? That's the old adage. So like we're waiting on Becton. And so far from what we've seen in camp and what we've heard, mainly what we've heard, because none of us have been to training camp, but what we've heard and what we've seen through Hard Knocks is that he's been playing well. It's just, he's only been gotten like a maximum of 25 snaps in the game. Yeah. So like we need to see another week or two of him like building himself up. And then hopefully he just takes that starting left tackle job from Dwayne Brown, who hasn't even practiced yet. I can't see myself being a huge, like, and also like, I don't want to move Dwayne Brown to right tackle either. Dwayne, I just think should just be a backup. And sucks for him. He's 38 and wants to compete for a title, but
he's got a busted shoulder. Like,
yeah, like I think Becton's going to be the best bet. Langan Tomlinson's a former Pro Bowler who's going to have a good year, I think, with Rodgers. I think that we're going to have AVT back, and worst case scenario, he plays right tackle. But that honestly might be best case scenario, actually, because he was fantastic at all three positions he played last year, right? And then, like, you don't want Max Mitchell at right guard, right tackle. Like, he's been getting smoked all camp from what I've been reading. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's playing better, but still not what you want. And then, like I saw, like, today maybe someone, like, people were like, all right, like, you'll put Tittman at right guard, McGovern at center, AVT at right tackle, and then Brown at left tackle until Becton can prove he can play a full game and like actually is okay and can play. Cause like I don't anticipate us like seeing Becton getting in and being like, wow, Carl Lawson just blew past Mekhi Becton again, which is what we saw 2 years ago. Just right. Over and over and over again, Becton getting smoked. He lost the weight. Like he's in his best athletic shape of his life. I'm expecting him to be able to keep up with defensive ends now. So what I want is Becton at left tackle, left guard to be Langan Tomlinson, center to be McGovern, Tittman to be right guard, and AVT to be right tackle for now, until we can find somebody who can play right tackle, because Becton can't. Like he can't move that way. That's this surgically repaired knee. You don't want him just constantly putting pressure on that. And it was clear he's just not as good at that position as left tackle.
Right.
So those are the five I want, and we'll see if we get it. I don't know who you guys, if you guys have any variations of that five, but it's definitely a problem right now. But as Rodgers said today, like he was asked about it also, and I don't remember the, it was a long quote. I don't remember the exact thing, but he said, right as of right now, he's okay. Like, there's no rush as of right now. There's still a bunch of weeks of training camp left. They got like a month until the season starts. They have a lot of time to figure this stuff out. It doesn't seem like it a lot of time, but that's 4 weeks. It's a lot of time to figure this out. And he was like, I just need a week. I just need a week with five guys. That's all I need.
Right.
So you know what? You have 3 weeks to figure this out, Jets. You have 3 weeks. And then the last week, you got to have Aaron practicing with the right group. Because that's all that matters. Him having chemistry and them all being on the same page. So the main takeaway, we need Becton to just get back to game shape. And it should be okay. But that's a big should. Like, Rodgers' like ability to get the ball out of his hands quickly is going to help this offensive line for sure.
Yeah.
You know? But
yeah.
He also needs to be able to get the ball out of his hand. And he can only get it out of his hand so quickly.
Right.
And if Brian Burns and Shaq Barrett are just getting into the backfield like this, who are two of the best pass rushers in the NFL for what it's worth, still, like, you need to give Aaron time to let anything develop. You know? If you miss that throw on first down, you're throwing on second again, most likely. And then if you're not, you're running the ball up the middle and you're third and long. And in the past, we've had Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold and Ryan Fitzpatrick and Mark Sanchez, where when you get in that third long situation, you're like, fuck, their drive's over. Now, like, Rodgers, like, I have the utmost confidence that Rodgers can complete a third and seven. Like, that's just who he is. That's his MO. He completes those. That's why he's a Hall of Famer. So it's obviously going to be different for us this year. Like, the conversation is different in the past. Different now than it has been in the past with the offensive line because of the Hall of Fame quarterback factor. But, man, they need some continuity quick because right now it certainly isn't working.
Yeah, I think that's the
– Sorry for the long spiel there, but, you know.
No, I think what you said, I like that unit that you listed out. I think as of now, that seems to be the best unit that they probably could put out there. But like you were saying, like Roger said, I think unit cohesion and getting these guys set quickly is like the most important thing. Figuring out who's going to be this unit soon is the most important thing, because I heard, and it's not Dad, if you're listening, I love you. He's like the king of, you know, and he's right. Games are won in the trenches. We all know this. He's always like, when the Dalvin Cook thing came down the pipe, and I'm still ambivalent about the Cook signing, but he was still like, we should use the money for an offensive lineman. And I still see people on Twitter saying it too. It's like, there's no one out there for Joe Douglas to go and sign right now that you're using that money on that is going to immediately improve the offensive line. It's not going to happen. There's just no one there. If you want to remove the offensive line with a new player, he's got to make a trade. So
who is that quarterback, former quarterback who's like a Packers guy now, Kurt Beckhart or something, Burhart?
No.
He's like a Twitter guy. He played for like a couple different NFL teams, played 5 years in the league, and he like was on a podcast with, I think, Kay Adams. I think he was on Up and Adams, and he was like, yeah, keep an eye out for Bakhtiari to the Jets.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Which it's been like
a dream.
That would be –
that'd be
I've been talking about it all summer, but –
Yeah, exactly. I mean, listen,
it would be great.
If you want to keep bringing guys
that
over,
Joe obviously is
and just
looking into,
just really keep making this the New York Packers or the Green Bay Jets, however you want to call them. Sure, bring them on.
Let's do it.
It's not going to hurt the offensive line. Hell yeah, bring them in.
No,
like
no.
You know,
I think those are our five most talented guys. The guys that you listed originally, and seeing Tippmann getting action at right guard, I was happy about, because I wanted Tippmann to be playing. They said he wasn't quite ready to be in NFL center right away, which is fine. It's a big jump from being ready to be an NFL right guard and being an NFL center. That's a completely next level of mental and all sorts of levels of preparation you need to have. So if he can be ready to go just from a pure physical go block your guy perspective at right guard, like I'm totally happy with that.
I've always hated people diminishing the importance of center.
Right.
I think it's the second most important position on the second most important position in the offensive line, like the fourth most important position in the entire offense, in my opinion, because of how it, like, obviously, like, Rodgers is, you know, Rodgers, and you're not going to necessarily need a veteran center to be pointing out, like, coverages, because you have Aaron doing that too. But, like, it, like Blake, like you said, it is a next level position where you need to be on top of everything. You need to know where everybody is on the field. You're already crouched down, and you're stuck between two guys on either side, two giant humans. You got a guy's hands basically on your ass. Like, and you have to be, like, hyper aware of who's coming at you and being in communication with the quarterback. Like, outside of left tackle, quarterback, and, like, wide receiver one, probably, it's, and maybe even more important than wide receiver one, you know, if you have the quarterback figured out. I just think it's such an underrated position in football, and people were like, oh, center, who cares about center? It doesn't matter. No, I think it matters a lot.
It's like,
yeah, you can't, like, as in, like, you know, Connor McGovern is keeping that job, even though Tittman's like a high draft pick. McGovern's going to keep that job, maybe out of necessity, because we need him to play right tackle, Tittman, but it's not like Tittman's, like, winning this job from a veteran. It's right, a tough thing to do.
And they made a point to say that, Liev Schreiber made a point to say that. It's like, the quarterback center relationship is one of the most important in the game. And some would say, what did you say? It's like, some would say it's rather intimate, because they're talking about him having his hands, like, between his legs and stuff like that. And that's where I was, like, what I mentioned before with Rodgers, and you said it was Schweitzer. I said McGovern, but him getting the snaps and stuff like that. He's like, don't spin it, do all that.
Yeah, so Schweitzer is just clearly not going to be a center.
Clearly not going to be the center.
No.
I don't think Rodgers is meshing with him in that position, so...
No, and Robert Saleh said it best in that speech that we talked about at the beginning. He's looking at tape, and he said, defense, our style was all over this bitch yesterday. And he said, but none of it matters until the big boys up front change the fuck who we are.
Yeah.
And he's right. I mean, we know what we have in the defense. They're going to dominate against a lot of teams. And Rodgers is going to be Rodgers, but nothing is going to change until the offensive line just basically – mans up and is, like, ready to be the guys that we need them to be.
It's a shame. In our lifetime, these Jets teams just can't put it all together. Like, the 2009 and 2010 teams, they had, like, every position group was elite except for the pass rush. Now we have every position group is elite except for the offensive line. Like, just give us just once.
Do you think Nick Mangold would be ready to go if we gave him a call?
We shoot him.
How quickly could he
Brick?
Get in game shape?
Well, we need more we need Damian Woody at right tackle. That's what we need.
Can we get? You think we can get DeBrickishaw on the line? Get him back out here.
I bet in 4 weeks they could be in shape, ready to go.
By the way, that is one of my most, like, wild statistics I've ever heard about professional football players. The fact that DeBrickishaw Ferguson never missed a game.
Like, it's insane. On the offensive line,
he played
crazy.
On the offensive line in the NFL. Like, it just, like, you can get rolled up on. You know, you got guys falling all over you who are, like, the same weight and size as you, and you never miss a game. God bless that man.
Those long ass arms kept everybody away from him.
That's right.
So the next thing we saw was the rookie show, which this is a Hard Knocks tradition. We see this with every team on Hard Knocks. The rookies have to go up and give some kind of performance. And to be fair, these guys are always doomed from the start. Like, they're never going to be happy with what you do. That's part of the rookie show, is that
Aiden Hutchinson killed it last year.
He did.
You got to be perfect. If you crush it, then they'll love it. But you're not starting even. You're starting way behind the eight ball, and you got to be perfect for them to be like, all right, you nailed it. And these guys did not nail it. They came in trying to do some like Stripes style, like everybody comes up and like introduces themselves with some like funny nickname and say like,
wait, you didn't recognize that?
No, what was it?
It was Stomp the Yard, man.
Was it that?
It was Stomp the Yard. They did the whole scene from Stomp the Yard.
Oh,
like, everybody, I was honestly really impressed. I was like, wow, they put a lot of effort into this. Like, they got that whole introduction scene from Stomp the Yard down, and then it just went way downhill from there.
Way downhill.
Well, yeah, they were already not happy with that. It makes more sense then if it was like a direct recap or redo of that scene. But then they tried to do like one of those like Jackbox games whatever, where you're like, everybody has to scan the QR. It's like, you shouldn't make them be like scanning and like typing in. Like they tried to do like a, oh, it's who's this guy? And everybody's like, oh, it's Michael Carter. And it's like the most popular guess. And they're getting the paper balls rained down on them. There clearly was a supply of paper balls because they were
a paper airplane.
They were flying in. These guys were getting peppered. It was a disaster.
I was cringing so hard. I was like, this is like what I like would like. I've played this game with like my girlfriend and her friends, like from school. Like, that's not like a game you play and we like drink wine and we laugh. Like, that's not like a game you play with a bunch of professional football players. I was like, I can't believe. I was like, that's such a gen. What is it? Is this the most recent one? Gen Z? Is that the most recent?
Yeah, they're Gen Z, the rookies. Yeah.
I was like, that is the most like Gen Z like idea I've ever seen. I hope these rookies just get relentlessly shat on for the rest of their lives. I love that it was like all from the
perspective of Mecole Hardman too, because he's got the big sunglasses on and he's just like, what's going on, man?
He's like, this is horrible. I was like,
what is going on?
And it ended with CJ Mosley standing up and saying they have to do it again next week because it wasn't good enough. They're going to have to run it back with a brand new performance. So I guess we'll see in next week's episode, these guys give it another shot doing something else. You basically just have to do something. Like, you can't try to be like cute or, because it's kind of like what we're talking about. Like, they're probably going to try to shit on you. Like, they want you to do something where they can make fun of you. Like, that's the goal. And so just do something where you're just like basically embarrassing yourself, like sing a song that's like embarrassing for you to be singing. Maybe come in and like go maybe hot in the streets, go with the Barbie theme, like come in and like Ken outfits and do like a stupid like song or something.
That's a good
like
idea.
Basically it something where you're just embarrassing yourself, because what they want is just to be able to make fun of you. So just let them do it.
You either need to do that or you have an actual like legitimate talent that will wow people. Like Aiden Hutchinson sang what did he sing last year? It was amazing. I forget what it was.
I don't remember the song.
He belted, or maybe it was a rap that he did and he memorized the whole thing. Either way, he killed it. He did Billie Jean. Yeah. A cappella, which was really impressive. And like he did a really good job. You have to do that, or like you said, Blake, like go full Barbie, embarrass yourself.
Yeah. And
they definitely embarrass themselves, just not in the right way.
Yeah, in a bad way, where it's like not even fun to make fun of them. It's just like, oh, that sucked. So then that was the last thing we saw before we got into the actual game, which we've already talked about a good amount. But just a couple moments that we saw was Zach Wilson before the game started on the sideline. And I forget who it was he was talking to, maybe the quarterback's coach or something. But he was just like, hey, man, just like relax. I think he was actually talking to Jeff Ulbrich, which is weird, the defensive coordinator. But he was talking to, and Ulbrich was like, hey, man, just go out there and have fun. Like, you deserve this. Like, you deserve this chance. Like, just go out there. And Zach, you could almost see himself like trying to just like cool off. And he literally said, like, I want to have fun playing football. Like, he's almost trying to tell himself, like, dude, just relax. Like, you psych yourself out too much. Just go out there and have fun. And he ended up playing well, so
I think cool he was moment. Doing I actually think he was doing a Family Guy bit. It's was from he? The it's the episode where like Peter takes Lois golfing and she's like, well, Peter, you hit your ball in the water, and like why? And he's like, because it's fun, we're having fun, you know, like
freaking yeah out. That's what
he's like,
whether it's a reference
fun,
or not,
we're having fun.
Exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, I'm assuming anybody that's listening to this watched the game. It was basically the defensive line show, like we talked about. Jermaine Johnson, Will McDonald kind of being the stars of that, but everybody just getting after Bryce Young, and then Matt Corral, once he came in, just taking former SEC quarterbacks out, which was very cool to see. And then one moment at the end that I liked was Aaron Rodgers going up to Mekhi Becton, which we had just kind of talked about. Becton and basically like going up and giving him a hug and being like, I love you, man. Like, you did great today. Like, you should be proud of yourself. And the thing that made me the happiest of this whole episode was Aaron Rodgers saying to Mekhi Becton, like, hey, man, let's talk soon. Like, you want to get lunch? Like, let's go get lunch soon. And I love, because Mekhi Becton clearly coming into the NFL did not have the best attitude. He did not come ready to basically be an NFL starter. Injury issues obviously haven't helped, but I think mentally he was not as mature as we would have hoped. And having Zach Wilson as your quarterback and kind of leader you're looking up to is not who you want for a young guy who kind of like needs like the kick in the ass to be like, come on, man, like you have all this talent and all the everything in the world. You just need to kind of go out and put the effort in, and then you can be the guy. And so the fact that Aaron Rodgers clearly sees that too and is like trying to take him under his wing a bit was my favorite moment of the whole episode.
Yeah. That was really great to see. Just because
it was great.
Yeah, because I mean, we all are rooting for Becton. It's the guy's coming from 2 years off the field, and he went and played in the stadium. I mean, there's something to be said for it, where he got hurt, and it was his last game that he played, like in a live game scenario, was in that stadium, and it was Zach Wilson's first game of his career in that stadium. So it was. It's there's something to be said, I guess, for probably in Becton's mind going back out there. I'm sure he was just like, you know, this is where the past 2 years kind of like where everything started to go downhill for me in a lot of ways. But I'm here and I'm trying to get back to where I was and where I know I can be. And to have a guy like Rodgers in your corner and being like, yeah, let's get this together. I want you to be the guy. I want you to be on the guy on the line that's helping to protect me. And I want to help you get there too. So, you know,
I want to see, I'd love to see them like go in depth on Becton in the next week or so. That'd be really cool. Yeah. One other thing I wanted to bring up. I love, we got a Ron Middleton moment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which was more like in jest to him, because it was right after Kuntz scored that touchdown, and Rodgers is like, he ran the wrong route. And he just goes up to Ron. He just goes up to Ron and he goes, yeah, nice coaching, Ron. You ran the wrong route, scored a touchdown. Nice coaching. Over and just relentlessly just destroying him. And Ron's just standing there like, all right, I'm just going to take this. But he's cracking up. He's like, all right, it's what am I going to say to Aaron Rodgers? Like, you know?
Yeah.
I love that. And we need more Ron Middleton.
Yes.
I agree.
We are seriously deprived of Ron Middleton content so far.
Well, a lot of what we asked for last week, Quinnen Williams, Will McDonald, some of that stuff we asked for, and we got it this week. So I think we're going to keep getting that kind of stuff going forward. We had one moment that, which is always funny to see that like the players are watching this too. We had a post-game moment with Johnny Hecker, the punter, which I guess he's the punter for the Panthers now. I didn't even realize that, but. And him and Tanzel Smart were teammates on the Rams, so I guess they know each other from that. Johnny Hecker had clearly watched the first episode because he went to Tanzel Smart after the game and he was like, hey man, you gonna get me a coochie board? It was the perfect callback to the first episode by Johnny Hecker. So
that's awesome.
I love that. Yeah,
you gonna get me a coochie board. Oh, that's so good.
So that was it for the game. The very last thing we saw, it was kind of like a post credit scene kind of thing, was the offense getting a Leslie Nielsen education from Aaron Rodgers, and the coaches kind of going through like the Naked Gun and Airplane and like all these things. And then it was a very funny moment afterwards where it's like shows like one of the guys on the field, like afterwards talking to another player and being like, hey man, you know, Leslie Nielsen, the guy from Airplane. And then he's like, he gives like a quote from the movies, like, man, that's funny, huh? And so Aaron Rodgers and Hackett are trying to give the young guys a classical movie education, which they said it was like a Cinema Sunday or something. Like they're going to be doing this once a week, giving these guys a lesson and some classic movies.
As
so.
A film head, I very much appreciate that. A cinephile, if you will. I very much appreciate these coaches trying to give our young quarterbacks, our offense, some culture.
And it's a good start. Airplane's a top 10 comedy of all time. So,
I mean,
shout out Leslie Nielsen.
RIP.
RIP.
RIP. Big,
and
big
don't
rip.
Call me Shirley.
Big rip.
So that was it for episode 2. Just running through One Jets Drive really quick. There were a couple moments. Again, One Jets Drive, I think we talked about it last week. It's definitely going to be overshadowed every week. We had kind of talked before the first episode about how we were excited about One Jets Drive and thought maybe it would be better than Hard Knocks. I think that take is very obviously wrong. The Hard Knocks episodes have been much better. But a couple of moments from One Jets Drive. It started with Michael Clemens in total Zen mode, which we saw at the end of the first episode. They kind of teased it and then went more into it with, I guess, like a mental coach that works for the team and kind of helps these guys like with meditation and these things. He talked about how he was a straight up alpha and people are afraid of him. Then they showed him an interview, which was one of the most terrifying things I've seen in my life. They're like, Michael, you seem like this calm, pretty reserved guy off the field. And then on the field, we know you just kind of turn into a beast. Like, how do you kind of turn that off and on? And he just sits there in silence for like 5 full seconds and lets like the suspense build. And then he just goes and doesn't say anything, just snaps. It's like, holy shit. This
oh,
guy
my God.
Is... if I was that reporter, I'd be like, is he going to kill me right now? Like,
was that a stupid question? Is he about to murder right now?
Yeah.
If I was interviewing him, I would ask him a question to be like, I'm sorry, by the way. I apologize.
Yeah.
Some of the reporters.
Even before he answers, just be like, by the way, I apologize. I'm sorry.
Some other reporter.
My like, boss told me to ask this question. I don't know.
It's stupid. He just texted me, but like,
Like
one of the other beat reporters.
Actually,
he
pointed
like,
the guy next to you. He actually wanted to ask the question, but they called on me. So I just said it for him. It was his question.
Rich Cimini lost his voice, but he wanted me to ask you this question.
not to give each guy on the Jets a different character from The Longest Yard, as I did last week with Quinnen and Switowski, but he's definitely. The guy Khali plays.
Oh yeah,
the ping pong guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
The
he's like, oh
like
yeah,
the,
yeah.
They get him from solitary confinement or whatever.
He's like, yeah, Papa John's playing safety, and Clemens is like, I play.
And then I guess One Jets Drive is a little bit behind, maybe just because it comes out a night sooner. But we saw the Hall of Fame game stuff in this episode that we saw in the last episode of Hard Knocks. So. We don't really need to go over that, but seeing the team like tour the Hall of Fame Museum and some of that stuff was cool. We saw the highlights of the game. We saw some stuff with Corey Davis, who I feel like has kind of been forgotten about in all this mix, partially because I think we're pretty sure that he was going to get traded. He was one of those contracts that seemed like a prime contract to dump for this team, but they kept him. And honestly, the fact that he's here, like, I think with Aaron Rodgers, he can have a really good year. Like, he's incredibly talented. He's going to have probably, when he's on the field, like the third best corner on the other team guarding him, who I think he's better than a lot of those guys. So, but seeing those family moments is always cool. Like, it's cool that I don't know what the situation was, but the team lets them have their kids on the field for certain parts of the day. And having them around, I'm sure, for certain guys is very, like, grounding. So that was nice to see. But really the only thing from One Jets Drive that we didn't get from Hard Knocks was some Jason Brownlee content, which he has been one of the standouts of training camp and of the entire offseason. I think maybe the last few days that seems to have maybe fallen off a little bit, which is – upsetting, but hoping he at least gets a practice squad spot, because for a guy that was an undrafted free agent, seems like an absolute steal and a lot of talent. And we obviously have a loaded room, but
not to cut you off real quick, but is Strev was in the quarterback room, wasn't he? when they were doing
I think they may have brought him back because he was on the sideline for that Carolina game.
Yeah, because they brought him because he's on like the injured list or something like that. So I guess that's why there. Because he got hurt, I remember. So
Brownlee's my guy. No, I never covered him. That is the school I covered, Southern Miss. So anybody from Southern Miss, I'm rooting for. Though
always your guy.
Always my guy. But I do think I don't think he's going to make the team. I think it's looking like Malik Taylor is going to make it over
him. He's going to make it over him, yeah.
Yeah, but Brownlee, I mean, he would join. I think there's only two other offensive starters or offensive players in the league from Southern Miss right now, and it's. I think Ito Smith is gone. I think it's Quez Watkins and then Nick Mullins. So Brownlee, if he makes a team, he'd be like the third guy, I think. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, I hope he at least makes the
spiel.
Yeah. Hope he at least makes the practice squad and maybe get Strev on the practice squad if he's willing to do that. Keep him around. And then they showed some of the joint practices. The only moment that we kind of saw that I thought was a cool moment that we didn't get in Hard Knocks was Jermaine Johnson talking to Brian Burns, who we referenced earlier, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, and Jermaine Johnson basically going up to him and being like, what did you do there? Like the way you had your hips, like the way you turned. And very cool to see that like a guy like Brian Burns, who's like a veteran in the NFL and like an absolute monster, is willing to like talk to a young guy on another team and be like, oh yeah, this is what I was doing. And like, so that was probably the coolest moment from that.
I've definitely gotten the sense, and I've never really had an idea of it before because I've never really gotten behind the scenes like this with the Jets or anything really. I don't really watch Hard Knocks that much if it's not the Jets. It seems like guys are really willing to like help each other out with technique. But when it comes to scheme, that's not like on the table at all. But when it comes to technique, it feels like that's like something that they're willing to like help each other with, which I found really interesting because you would think like this is their craft. Like, why are they going to give away trade secrets?
Right.
You know, it's what makes also, them so good.
The guys
but it's interesting.
Like,
yeah.
Brian Burns giving it to Jermaine Johnson. It's like, it's not like Brian Burns is ever going to have to use this against Jermaine Johnson. So it's like,
yeah,
true.
Why not? You know, it's like if he was giving it to an offensive lineman, it'd be like, all right, I don't know what you're. Why you're telling Brian Burns, I don't know why you're telling him that, but Jermaine Johnson is probably just like looking at it like, you know, yeah, I can learn from one of the league's best, and he's willing to kind of give me these tips. And Jermaine Johnson, I think I posted it during the game. It's like he switched numbers and he became like Lawrence Taylor in his prime. he just looks really good out
there.
He's
been a beast.
He's just been
yeah.
Been
11
awesome.
11 looks better than 52 anyway.
Yeah, I think so too.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we're not playing Carolina, so I guess Brian doesn't, you know, feel any need to like be like, hey, you know, like I'm not going to give any tips for playing this year.
I think if they were playing Carolina during the regular season, maybe it wouldn't be so.
If Jermaine Johnson was like on the Falcons, I don't think he's maybe giving those tips out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's like, I don't think we're seeing you in the Super Bowl, man. So like, it's good. Yeah, we're good.
Not this year, but maybe we're a couple years from now. I don't know, but definitely not this year.
So that was it for second episode of One Jets Drive. Second episode of Hard Knocks. Obviously, one big thing that happened in the Jets world, which this really is. A Hard Knocks recap podcast, not a Jets podcast. So we can save it for next week because we will be seeing Dalvin Cook on Hard Knocks next week. But that's just a little teaser. We saw him at practice, videos of him at practice this week. So that's something we can dive into next week when we see him arrive. But very exciting times. Another great episode of Hard Knocks. Do you guys have any final thoughts?
I mean, I saw some camera. I mean, I saw a quick picture or like a little video of Dalvin getting off the private jet, and saw the Hard Knocks cameras were there. So, I mean, you got to assume that they'd be there, but it's nice to see that they're there. And we're gonna get a lot of Dalvin Cook next week, which will be cool.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's just like you said it already, Blake, but just to reiterate, Hard Knocks is just way better. It's just been a way better product than One Jets Drive so far. It was very interesting to see like that they included Hall of Fame game stuff. I guess I kind of forgot that they didn't. Like maybe Maybe I guess the first episode of One Judge Drive, they focused a lot more on before training camp. Like they did the Rodgers interview,
right?
Lake Tahoe and everything. But they didn't really get into the first game. It was like the first week or so of practice. And then I guess they started with the Hall of Fame trip this year. Yeah. We already talked about it, but that was definitely interesting. It's just like not, the hype isn't the same either now. Like I don't really, I'm not looking forward to Mondays. I'm looking forward to Tuesdays. Right. Like Monday is like, oh, cool. Like more Jets content, like some behind the scenes stuff. I'm obviously going to watch, you know, and it's still good. It's still a good product. It's just, you know, Hard Knocks is just up here and One Judge Drive is like still high, but like, it's just, you know, mid tier in the right. middle.
And Hard Knocks is showing more of the, they're not like dressing things up.
It's more like objective.
You could see during the regular season when the Jets are bad, like during when the last portion of the season, I don't even know if they made a One Jets Drive. Like when they're losing, they don't really make episodes. So it's obvious. I mean, it's made by the Jets. It's Jets propaganda. We watch it because we want to see the content and we understand that. It's not, it's whatever. Because, I mean, comparing Rodgers and the One Jets Drive portion of things, you know, I think like one of the sections with him is him like surprising the kid with special needs and signing like his jersey and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, that's what players should do. And like Rodgers is who he is. And then you compare that to him in Hard Knocks. And it's like, yeah, two different guys, but that's the Rodgers you want to see on the field. The authentic guy. You're not going to see that on One Jets Drive because they also can't curse on One Jets Drive.
Right. They're not going to be showing Rodgers running up to the Carolina defensive line coach and being like, what's up, you piece of shit?
You fat piece of shit.
They're not.
They'd have to censor that whole scene out if they wanted
to. It's just not the same. Like, they're just, it's very obvious that, like, one's prop, like, I don't want to use the word propaganda. It's like marketing. It's like,
yeah, that's all it is.
It's internal documentary detailing the off season, which is cool. Right. And that's fine, and you're gonna see cool stuff, but
And when the regular season rolls around and Hard Knocks is finished with, then One Jets Drive will love it again. And that's not saying I'm not enjoying One Jets Drive, but compared to Hard Knocks, you can't really compare the two.
Listen, there's gonna be One no Jets shortage Drive. Of Jets coverage this year in any network, so we're gonna have plenty of content to consume.
Exactly.
No, whether One Jets Drive is the movie Bohemian Rhapsody. It was a fun movie. It's a good movie, but you could tell that Brian May was just standing over the editor's shoulder the whole time being like, no, don't put that in. You cut that scene out. It's propaganda, but it's
getting too
it's
real.
Fun great propaganda.
Get that out it's a great, great analogy.
Yeah. So we'll take it. But that's it for episode 2. We'll be back with another one of these next week. I don't know where you're consuming this, if you're listening, but it's up on my YouTube channel, Blakey Locks on YouTube. So you can watch it there. If you're listening, it's on the Jetstream podcast feed, wherever you find that. So make sure you subscribe to both of those and do all that stuff. And thanks for listening.